That was delicious. Quite delicious. Maybe I shouldn't say this, having cooked it myself, but I haven't tasted a coq au vin so good since I had one 3 years ago in a little auberge at La Salette. How did you find it, Henry?
Oh, excellent, excellent.
You didn't eat very much, Michael.
Ample, Father Valentine, ample.
Now, it should be followed by a really good cheese, perhaps a brie. But if the parish finances can't run to that, at least we can afford a decent Bordeaux in this presbytery. There are many so-called connoisseurs who turn up their noses at a wine like this, but let me tell you, a good wine needn't be expensive. A shrewd importer, that's the main thing. Little more, Henry?
Oh, thank you, Father.
And you, Michael?
No, thank you. I'm not a great wine drinker.
Nor a great eater, by the looks of it. You hardly touched your coq au vin. Don't you care for it?
It's an acquired taste, I shouldn't wonder.
Then we must educate your palate.
I think this sort of food is too sophisticated for me.
Oh, nonsense. Coq au vin could hardly be called a sophisticated dish. Just good provincial French cooking.
Well, I prefer good Irish cooking like bacon and cabbage.
Oh, bacon and cabbage, you are a comic. Ah, that wine's perfect. Now, as you boys know, while Mrs. Doran's off ill, I've taken on the responsibility of cooking the main meal of the day. And I can promise you that there are some treats in store. You'll have the chance to enjoy some of the great European dishes. But I'm afraid bacon and cabbage isn't one of them, Michael.
That's a pity. The next time you're in Ireland, maybe you should try it.
I've no plans for visiting Ireland, at least not in the foreseeable future. With so much of Europe still to see, it's rather far down my list.
Well, are you going, Monsieur Father?
To Lombardy, I hope. Pavia, to be precise. A walled city, one of the loveliest towns in Italy. I want to take a look at San Michele. It's supposed to be the finest example of Lombard Romanesque. It may give me some ideas for the new St. Gregory's.
I thought that after your visit to Munich last year, you were inclined to favour the Baroque style.
Oh, surely not. The Liebfrau Milch must have been flowing too freely the day I said that. No, I'm the last man to be Jansenistic, but would you not agree that Baroque is a little too exuberant?
I haven't your expertise in these matters.
Oh, you flatter me, Henry. But I suppose I have made a deep study of European church architecture over the past 10 years. I've visited most of the great examples, and I haven't been wasting my time, I can assure you of that. When the new St. Gregory's is built, it'll be the epitome, the quintessence of all I've seen. It will rise like a hymn of glory to God. Future generations will visit it as they now visit Chartres.
But you haven't found your architect yet.
I'll find him, Henry, I'll find him. Our Lady of Fatima will bring us together.
It's going to cost a lot of money.
That will be found. My church will be built, as many another great Catholic church, by the pennies of the poor. For 10 years, ever since I became parish priest here, I've been collecting money. And when my church is built, there'll be no debt on it. Not a brick will be laid until all the money's been raised. There'll be no mortgage repayments to eat like a cancer into future generations. If I have to collect for another 20 years, there'll be no debt on the new St. Gregory's. I can promise you that.
Do you think there's any need for the new church?
What did you say?
Well, there's talk of the bishop dividing this parish into two. If he were to do that, there'd be no need for a bigger church. He'd leave St. Gregory's as it is and have another church built at North End.
The bishop is not going to divide this parish into two.
That's what I've heard, and it makes a lot of sense. And when it happens, there'll be no need for a new church.
There will be no North End parish.
Not yet.
Even if there was, I'd still go ahead with a new church.
I suppose that'd be all right if you built a smaller one.
I've no intention of building a smaller one. The new St. Gregory's will be the biggest in the diocese.
Who's going to fill it?
Oh, I wish you were a little more apostolic. Don't you believe in the conversion of England?
Not for a long while.
Oh, ye of little faith.
All I know is that there's a big council estate being built at North End, and it'll be occupied by the people who live in the slums at this end of the town. In 5 years' time, half our parishioners will be living at North End. We'll need two small churches, not one big one. If you were to build this church you have in mind, it would be a white elephant.
Are you trying to insult me?
No, I'm just stating the facts.
I wish you were as forthright over other matters.
I don't follow you.
I'll take my coffee in my study.
What did you mean by that remark?
I do seem to have caught you on the raw. Yes, well, I'll tell you. 2 months ago, when I allowed you to start the Friday night dance for the social club, you agreed to pay 25% of the gross profits to the building fund. So far, I've received nothing.
We hardly make any profit. The most you'd receive would be a few shillings.
To date, I haven't received a penny, let alone a few shillings. And even if it were only a penny, I'd still want it. Oh, not for myself, but for the new church. Let me see your accounts sometime.
Accounts? I don't keep accounts.
Then I suggest you start, for I intend to inspect them regularly. Oh, and another thing. I'd like you to call in on Ursula and Philomena MacMullen sometime. It's weeks since their father died. Oh, and they're still beside themselves with grief. Ted MacMullen was a great supporter of the building fund, so I don't want his daughters to feel neglected. Oh, this coffee is absolutely perfect. Thank goodness we can always be certain of a good cup of coffee. Not like the instant bilge they serve in some presbyteries. Now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me.
You've annoyed him.
Well, he serves as this muck with bottles of cheap wine and carries on as if we're all dining in some 4-star restaurant.
A cup of coffee, Michael?
No, thanks.
Not like the instant bilge you get in some presbyteries.
Oh, shut up. Why can we never have a decent pot of tea?
Tea after lunch instead of coffee? You have got a long way to go.
But doesn't the food bother you?
Not really.
You hardly touched it today.
An ample sufficiency.
I don't understand you, Henry. That hot pot with red pepper he gave us last week. I was awake half the night spewing me guts up.
Hot pot with red pepper? That was Hungarian goulash spiked with paprika. Paprika, my dear Michael, not red pepper. What an ignorant bog-trotter you are.
Still, Mrs. Doran should be back soon.
Amen to that.
At least you can eat her food. Not that there's much of it.
He doesn't give the poor woman enough to spend.
You know, I've not had a square meal in the 3 months I've been here. And you were here 4 years. I don't know how you've stood it.
I'll let you in on a little secret, if you promise not to tell anyone.
Who would I tell?
Father Valentine, perhaps.
That's a laugh. Go on, tell me.
Before I lunched here, I'd already had lunch.
Had lunch? Where?
At one of my little nests.
Your little nests?
That's what I call them. I visit a different one each day. Before lunching here, I'd already eaten at the Kellys.
What did you have?
Meat and potato pie, followed by stewed rhubarb and custard.
Oh.
Fortunately, the presbytery lunch isn't until 1:15, and the majority of our parishioners dine at 12 or 12:30, and dine very well, too. At least the ones on my list do.
You've got a list?
Of course. I suppose Father Valentine would call it a Michelin guide. Parishioners have to reach a high standard of cooking before I put them on my list. Monday, liver and onions at the Trainers. Tuesday, today, meat and potato pie at the Kellys. Wednesday, bacon, egg and sausage at the Boyles. Thursday, beef stew at the Caffreys. Friday, fish and chips at the Morgans. Saturday, roast beef and Yorkshire pudding at the Gaffneys.
Oh, no wonder you're never hungry.
Nothing to stop you doing the same. No reason why you shouldn't have your own little list. But mind you keep away from my nests.
I don't see why I should have to go out of the presbytery to get a square meal. This is supposed to be our home.
Be it ever so humble.
Now, don't joke about it. It's the duty of the parish priest to provide a comfortable home for his curates, not drive them out to scrounge meals from parishioners.
They'd be glad to see you, Michael. There's nothing they like better than having a priest sit down to eat with them. Though I let them know discreetly that I'd rather they didn't tell Father Valentine how often I called on them. Look, Michael, let me give you a word of advice. Don't get at him over building this new church.
But he'll be throwing the money away.
Keep your voice down. Look, you've only been here 3 months. You don't understand the situation. His one ambition in life is to build that church. He thinks of nothing else. For the past 10 years, he's squeezed this parish dry. Church collections, outdoor collections, raffles. He brags that he's going to be the only priest in the diocese to build a church without a penny debt.
And because of his pride, the parish groans under an intolerable burden.
And no one groans more than his curates. He's seized of that.
My stomach's groaning after that lunch. I'll have to get up and walk about a bit.
But I tell you this, Henry, he's left it too late. With North End going up, the bishop will never let him build. And I'll tell you another thing. He's not taking money from my dance for something that'll never happen.
Every activity is in aid of the building fund. That's the 11th commandment in this parish.
My dance is too important to be messed about. How are Catholic boys to meet Catholic girls unless we have a weekly dance where they can come together?
Do you think the bishop would marry the first two members of the club to hit it off?
He probably would.
That'd be a great feather in my cap.
Is that why you started the dance in the first place?
Now, you know that's not true, Henry. I feel for these young people, I really do. I want to bring them together and keep them together.
Oh, so you can, as long as you pay them 25% of the profits.
Sorry, gross profits. There aren't any profits. We barely make enough to pay for new records. Handing money over to him would ruin the dance, and all for a church that nobody needs. Look, Henry, let's go into him now and put our point of view.
Not me.
Now, why not?
It wouldn't do any good.
Are you frightened of him?
Yes.
Well, I'm not.
Just a minute, Michael. Just listen to me before you go charging out of here. When I first came here, I carried on in much the same way, mutiny, just as you're doing now.
You did?
Yes.
And what happened?
I'd rather not come into it. Take my advice, Michael. Don't get on the wrong side of him.
I can't let him ruin my dance.
Give it a week or so. See how it goes.
All right, I let it go this time. But if he's looking for trouble with me, he's picked the wrong man.
You're going to enjoy this, gentlemen. Taste it. Go ahead. Taste it.
What is it, Father?
A Spanish dish. Pescado con guindilla.
Oh, it's very fishy.
Something else.
What is in it exactly?
Basically, it's fish flavored with chili.
Oh, there seems to be more to it than that.
Ah, you've caught me out, eh? well, all great chefs must allow themselves a little individuality. To make it more piquant, I've added olive oil, garlic, and Tabasco sauce.
No wonder it's so damned hot.
Hot? I don't think so. Do you find it hot, Henry?
Perhaps a little, Father.
Oh, well, try some of this. Quite a lovely little wine. Would you like some, Michael?
I'd better take something to put the fire out.
Oh, you like it? Yes. A light wine, best for drinking when young.
Maybe I'm too old for it.
The celebrated wit of the Irish. No doubt I'll learn to appreciate it in time. Ah, delicious. Mm. Well, gentlemen, I have some very exciting news for you. Oh. You know that yesterday I attended the blessing of the new church at Amblethwaite?
Yes.
Oh, what a monstrosity. If that's what they call modern, then God help us all. It looked exactly like a shoebox. Well, I happened to be standing beside Dennis Sloane, the well-known architect. He must have noticed me smiling to myself, for he whispered, "The only thing that would save that shocker would be an Italianate campanile." Well, as soon as he said that, I knew I'd found my man. After all my years of searching, I'd found the architect for the new St. Gregory's.
Dennis Sloane?
Yes. I commissioned him on the spot to draw up a plan.
Well, has he ever designed a church? To the best of my knowledge, the only work he's done for the diocese is the junior school at Embleby.
Yes, that's right. This'll be his first church.
Are you sure he's the right man for the job?
Why do you ask that?
Oh, I'm just a little surprised, that's all. I mean, you want the new St. Gregory's to be a significant piece of architecture, like St. Peter's in Rome. I'd hardly call Dennis Sloane another Michelangelo.
Because he's never built a church? Oh, my dear Henry, even Michelangelo had to start somewhere. He wasn't always famous, you know. Someone had to give him his first commission.
And you really think Sloane has the necessary vision?
I'm sure of it. I had a long conversation with him after the ceremony. Oh, it was astonishing how our minds ran along the same lines. He's coming to see me this afternoon, so, well, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll take my coffee to my study. I've had a lot of work to get through before he arrives.
What do you think of that? After all these years, he's actually making a move. I bet he's trying to get his church built before North End's developed.
Nah, he'd never get away with it. The bishop wouldn't let him.
Listen to me, Michael. The longer you've been in this game, the more you realize how powerful these parish priests are. They're absolute dictators where their own parish is concerned. Mark my words. North End is forcing his hand. He's actually thinking of building.
No, he hasn't got the money yet. He's said he'd never make a start if he had to take out a mortgage.
True enough, but something's in the wind.
I think I've burned the roof of my mouth.
Try some coffee.
No, I'll just have a cup of cold milk. I suppose you've already enjoyed a good lunch.
That's right.
Which of your little nests did you visit today?
Today? Wednesday. I've had bacon, egg and sausage at the Boyles.
Oh, shut up.
Well, nothing to stop you finding a few nests of your own.
No, it's not right. I'm going to insist on him providing proper meals, and you're going to back me up.
Not me. Look, Michael, be reasonable. Mrs. Doran will be back soon. Not much to eat, but at least it's edible, and the house will be clean and fairly warm. It's a serious business for a curate to complain to his parish priest. Give it a little more time. Find yourself a few cozy nests.
No, Henry, it's not right. And I'm telling you this. It can't go on much longer.
It's a cold dish today, gentlemen. So nothing will spoil while I tell you my news. Dennis Sloane has produced a sketch of the new St. Gregory's that is everything I could have wished for. Here it is, Henry. What do you think of that, Well, come on. Do you like it?
It's rather Spanish, isn't it?
Well, of course it's Spanish. It's inspired by Santa Maria la Blanca at Toledo, a mixture of Romanesque and Moorish. In the original, the Moorish element predominates, but you'll notice, and this is the measure of Sloane's genius. In our new church, the Romanesque dominates the Moorish, thus symbolizing the victory of Christianity over the heathen. Oh, that's exactly what I wanted. The significance of European Christianity expressed in architectural terms.
Yes, I see. Oh, here you are, Michael. What do you think?
Well, come on. Let's have it.
It reminds me of something.
Ah, the Alhambra, perhaps? There are certainly echoes of the Alhambra.
No. Something much nearer home.
I'd expected a little more enthusiasm.
How would such a church fit into an industrial town in the north of England?
It would fit in very well.
Doesn't it call for arid plains and scorching skies?
No, of course not. Great architecture is international. Oh, you mustn't be so provincial, Henry. Would you rather have a shoebox like that Amblethwaite church?
I'm really not qualified to judge.
Well, I am, and I'm very pleased with it. Now for the second part of my news. I'm determined that work on this church will begin within 3 years.
3 years?
Impossible. You'll never raise the money by then.
Oh, yes, I will, if we all go flat out.
I thought you'd been going flat out for the past 10 years.
Not quite. We'd been saving ourselves for the final spurt. Now, I'm inaugurating a 3-year plan. First, I'm having copies of this sketch printed to be distributed to every parishioner. They'll be told to display it prominently in their homes, on the mantelpiece, perhaps, to inspire them to give even more to the building fund. Second, we must all step up our fundraising activities. I want to see twice as many raffle tickets sold. And we must pull our weight as well. We must make economies.
What does that mean?
Which brings me to the question of a housekeeper.
Oh, yes. I was meaning to ask. When will Mrs. Doran be returning?
She won't.
Oh. Oh, dear me. I had no idea she was so ill.
I'm dispensing with her services as part of our contribution to the 3-year plan.
Oh, my God.
Well, we've managed well enough without her, don't you think? These past few weeks have proved that she was, in many ways, superfluous. I'm more than capable of cooking the meals. I think you'll agree to that. As for the cleaning, I've arranged for Mrs. Reynolds to come in for 1 hour a day. Of course, we'll all have to work a little harder. Mrs. Reynolds won't have time to do everything, but the household duties will be shared equally among us.
I don't think you should dispense with Mrs. Doran.
I have already done so.
Every presbytery has a housekeeper.
How much do you reckon to save on household expenses?
A trifle over £7.10 a week.
And you expect us to live in squalor and eat food that's not fit for pigs so that you can save a trifle over £7.10 a week to build a church that no one needs? You and your bloody church! You're trying to get it built before North End becomes a fact. And to do that, you're ready to make it hard for every man, woman, and child in this parish. And for what? Well, look at it! Look at it! It's a travesty, a disaster. It's vulgar, it's ridiculous. Do you know what it reminds me of? It's a cross between the Granada Cinema in Market Street and the Crescent Tavern in Duke Street. If that monstrosity were ever built, it would hold back the conversion of England for 1,000 years.
Oh, you do put things dramatically. Yes, that Friday night dance must be overstimulating you.
That dance is doing more for this parish than you've ever done.
And how do you know that?
Because people have told
me. Michael, be careful.
What have they been telling you?
Nothing I haven't found out for myself. That you're only interested in the money you can get out of them.
And what's your interest in them?
What do you mean?
I suggested you're interested in winning their popularity.
And what's wrong with that?
It rather depends on the motive, don't you think?
I don't follow you.
Then I'll explain. You claim this dance fosters Catholic marriages.
It does. Take Jack Logan and Eileen McCarthy.
In all probability, they would have landed up with Catholic partners. In any event, they've been too well taught to do otherwise. No. No, the only certain thing about that dance is that it brings about disloyalty and disobedience in one of my curates. I think it would be better if there were no more dances.
If you want to punish me, there's no need to do that. Let Henry run the dance.
There will be no more dances.
So you'd go to such lengths. You'd spoil the enjoyment of innocent boys and girls to get your own back on me.
I want no more talk about it. And if you're looking for ways of filling in your time, Michael, then I suggest you devote yourself a little more to your pastoral duties. I happen to know that you've not yet visited the MacMullan girls. Their father's been dead for months, and they still haven't got over it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But obviously not by you, it would seem. Now let's eat. I've prepared a most delicious pizza Siciliana. A slice for you, Michael.
I want none of your hotchpotch. The sight of it makes me want to throw up.
Then your palate must be as coarse as your manners. Yes, let me help you to some, Henry.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, there. Now, try some Malaga from Andalusia. A dying taste, but appropriate to the occasion.
Thank you, Father.
I give you a toast, Henry. The new St. Gregory's.
The new St. Gregory's.
Is the pistache de mouton not to your taste, Michael?
I'm not hungry.
Oh, you must eat more. You'll waste away. You'll never do all the work I expect of you unless you're in tip-top condition mentally and physically. Can't have you being off sick when I'm away on my holiday.
Oh, yes. You decided to go to Spain and not Italy, Father.
Well, it's my spiritual home. Oh, to breathe again that Spanish air, so translucent, so glittering, like an entity in itself.
Have you any particular place in mind?
No. I shall just wander its dusty roads like an itinerant friar.
Oh, surely you'll call it Toledo.
Oh, but of course. I must certainly visit Santa Maria la Blanca, soon to have an added fame as the inspiration of the new St. Gregory's. Oh, and I hope to take in a few bullfights. Not that there are many matadors worth watching nowadays. They tend to indulge in vulgar Veronicas to give the tourists a cheap thrill. Oh, for my Giurito and Belmonte of long ago.
You don't find bullfighting a cruel sport?
Well, of course it's cruel. That's what it's all about. There's no compromise in Spain. The blazing sun above, and in the arena below, death in the afternoon.
Didn't Hemingway say that?
Yes, he knew a lot about the game, too.
I could think of better ways of spending an afternoon.
Could you now? Perhaps you'd tell me what you're doing after lunch.
Well, I'm dropping in at the school later on, training some of the lads for the sports. Then I was thinking of going up to St. Anthony's and having a hand of cards with some of the old men. Helps them to pass the time.
You don't think your time could be better passed visiting the parishioners in your district? I mean, how am I to know what's happening to my flock if my curates don't visit? You are my eyes and my ears. You visit the parishioners and then report back to me.
What can I report back? Just a lot of old gossip that nobody in their right senses would want to hear.
Anything to do with my flock is of interest to me. You really must start getting round them all. I was speaking to the Macmullen girls yesterday after Holy Hour, and they were complaining that they hadn't had a visit from you in months. They're both still grieving over their father's death. I'd have thought they deserved a little Christian charity. Yes, I've spoken to you about this more than once.
They seem to be getting on all right. I see them at Mass often enough.
The Macmullen girls like to be visited. Do you know how many books of raffle tickets they sell in that little corner shop? 30! Think of that. 600 tickets! And they give one of the main prizes. Oh, we can't afford to offend them. I've no need to tell you how important the next raffle is. We must make it the biggest yet. How can we count on the support of our parishioners if the clergy don't visit them? A parish has to be nursed like a child. We want no bruised feelings or resentments.
I look in on them sometime.
You'll oblige me by paying them a visit this afternoon.
Hello, Father O'Toole.
Hello.
Go through into the back. Phil's in there. I'll be through in a minute.
Thank you, Ursula. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Father O'Toole. I'll just turn...
Don't turn it off. Oh. No, I like it. Andre Costellanes, isn't it?
Mantovani.
Of course, Charmaine.
Aren't you going to sit down, Father?
Thanks. I'm sorry you had to complain to Father Valentine about not being visited.
Oh, we never complain.
I understood.
He was asking us. He seemed to be checking up on you.
He would be.
We'd never complain about a thing like that, Father. We like to have a visit, but we know how busy you are and Father Walsh.
Don't worry about it.
Will you have a cup of tea, Father O'Toole?
If you're sure it's no trouble.
It's no trouble at all. Put the kettle on, Phil, and I'll go through and get some biscuits. What kind do you like, Father?
I noticed some fig rolls and lemon puffs as I came through. I wouldn't mind some of those. And maybe a couple of bourbon creams.
Right.
Must be nice living behind a shop.
Oh. Do you think so? It's a bit dark.
I mean, you can go through and help yourself to anything you fancy.
Oh, I haven't thought of it that way.
There's the biscuits, Father. I must rush back. I've got a customer. I'll see you in a minute.
Must be 3 months now since your father died.
Six.
How time flies. That's a big radiogram.
It was the biggest in the shop. And the most expensive.
Have you many records?
Oh, piles. We buy them all the time.
Many Mantovani?
All of them. He makes such lovely sounds. Do you like him?
Love him. The radiogram looks new.
It is. We got it after Father died. He wouldn't let us have anything like that. He didn't like music. Do you know what he'd say if he heard that? He'd say it sounded like an old traction engine.
Never.
And he'd make me turn it off.
No.
He would. This was a very quiet house when he was alive.
Has your mother been dead long?
Oh, she died when I was a child. Since then, we've looked after Father. Oh, that is, until he died.
Been entertaining you all right, Father?
Fine.
Oh, I see you finished the biscuits. Would you like some more?
I know.
I could get you something more substantial if you'd like.
I know, sure. I'm due with St. Anthony's shortly.
Oh, it wouldn't take a minute. Something quick and tasty, like a tin of salmon.
Or corned beef.
Would it be a lot of trouble to open a tin of corned beef?
It wouldn't take a minute. And how about a tin of peaches to follow?
You're sure it's no trouble?
Like you said, Father O'Toole, we live behind a shop.
Would you like a tin of cream with your peaches, Father?
And some vegetable salad to go with the corned beef.
I like that.
That was the best meal I've had in months.
Oh, surely not.
It's the truth.
I thought Father Valentine kept a good table.
I've never had a square meal at the presbytery since I've been there.
Oh,
it's not that I'm a greedy man, but I've a healthy appetite. I've a very active job to do, and how can a man be expected to do a good day's work unless he's a decent meal inside him?
Any day you'd like to lunch with us, Father, you'd be very welcome.
I can't do that. Father Valentine insists that we all have lunch together.
Oh, that's a pity. We'd be glad to have you.
What time do you have lunch?
12 o'clock. We close the shop for half an hour.
So it's all over by 12:30?
Oh, it has to be. We open again at 12:30.
It's always something substantial. I cook it while Ursula minds the shop.
I may take you up on that.
How did you like the ratatouille, Michael?
A most arresting flavor.
You seem to be more appreciative of my continental delicacies these days, doesn't he, Henry? Perhaps you're developing a taste for them.
You could be right.
Yeah, I knew it would come in time. But I couldn't help noticing that you only had a very small helping.
Well, don't you think that ratatouille is a dish to be savoured in small quantities?
You're not hinting that my own helping was too large?
Not at all. You need to eat a lot to get through the amount of work you do.
I certainly get through my share. There's a desk full waiting in my study. I'd better get in there and make a start.
Make a start. He'd be snoring in his chair for the next couple of hours. And what are you grinning at?
So, ratatouille is a dish to be savoured in small quantities, is it? I've been wondering why you've been so mellow over the past couple of weeks. Now I know. You've found a little nest.
Well, isn't that what you advised me to do?
I certainly did, so let me in on it. Where have you been today?
The Macmullans.
The grocers? Very shrewd. Very shrewd indeed. My word, you've picked a good one there. Who else is on your list?
I haven't got a list.
You've got to have a list. One nest isn't enough.
It is if you go there every day.
I don't like the sound of that. You should give someone else a turn.
Why should I, when the Macmullans give me such grand meals?
What did you have today?
Roast lamb, fresh garden peas, and new potatoes. All washed down with a bottle of Guinness.
Guinness? I've never been given Guinness at any of my nests.
They give me a bottle every day.
What do you have for afters?
Lemon meringue pie and a good strong pot of tea.
I don't think you should go there every day.
Why not? They like my company.
Another cup of tea, Father Michael?
No, thank you, Phil.
The cigarettes are at your elbow, Father.
Thanks.
I got the new Mantovani record today. Would you like to hear it?
I'm afraid I haven't got the time. I've a call to make before I get back to the presbytery.
Oh. You're always a bit rushed at lunchtime. Why not come round some evenings for supper? You'd have time to listen to records then.
And watch the television as well. Ursula's thinking of buying a television set.
What make had you in mind?
The biggest one there is, of course.
She's a great one for spending.
And why not? We've both worked hard enough all these years, haven't we? I'd better open the shop.
Pay no attention to her, Father Michael. She never wanted to work in the shop. She never wanted me to work there either. She thinks we both wasted our lives. And that's why she buys me expensive things now that Father's dead. They're all for me, you know, the things she buys. She wants to make up to me for what I've missed. You see, I hated the shop. I'm shy with people. And I can't add up very quickly. But it was worse for Ursula. She was brilliant at school. She could have been a teacher if she'd been allowed to stay on. But Father made her come into the shop. She gets very bitter about it.
He'd be doing what he thought best.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
You know, Phil, it happens to all of us. The day I made my first communion, the priest told my mother that when he looked down at my little upturned face, he had this conviction that I was destined for the priesthood.
Oh.
I was only 7, mind you. But from that day on, she talked of nothing else. Whenever we had visitors, she told them the story, and I was trotted out and paraded before them so they could all have a good look at me. Maybe she was right, but I always fancied being a motor mechanic myself.
I suppose there's nothing perfect.
Not this side of the grave, anyway.
Things are very pleasant for us now. Ursula runs the shop, and she lets me stay back here where I like to be.
Just you and Mantovani?
Oh, I do my share. I do all the cleaning and cooking.
You're a very good cook.
Oh, thank you.
I'd better be getting back.
You're looking remarkably well these days, Michael. I believe you've put on a bit of weight.
I feel very fit.
You're a good advertisement for my cooking. Oh, by the way, the raffle tickets arrived today from the printers. I doubled the order this time, which means that every parishioner will be expected to sell twice as many.
I can see some of them refusing to take the extra book.
Oh, that's bound to happen. There are always the moaners, the ones who won't pull their weight. Leave it to the others, that's their motto. But it's up to us to put a bit of backbone into them.
They won't like it.
Do you think I like it? Do you think there's any pleasure for me in raising money? It goes completely against the grain, I can tell you, but somebody has to do it. How else will the new St. Gregory's be built? I've sorted out the raffle tickets. I want you to start delivering right away. You'll be pleased to know I've thought of another outlet.
Oh.
I want you to go around all the public houses in the town. I've counted them up. There's exactly 30. Mm. Now, if you could get rid of an average of 5 books per pub, that would add up to a total of 3,000 tickets. Oh, there's a rich vein to be tapped. So get cracking, gentlemen. Divide the pubs between you. You do north and west of the river, Michael and Henry. You can do south and east. I'll go and get the tickets now. Oh, by the way, Michael, are you keeping in touch with the Macmullans?
I visit them regularly, Father.
Good. I'm depending on people like that more than ever.
Have you not found any other nests yet?
I'm happy enough with the Macmullans.
Isn't it rather dangerous to go to the same house every day? And someone might notice and mention it to Father Valentine. If he twigged what we were up to, he could do something awful, like bringing the presbytery lunch forward to 12 o'clock.
Don't worry, I'm very careful.
Your cheeks are quite rosy. Are you still getting your bottle of Guinness?
Yes, and a nip or two of whiskey in the evening.
You go in the evening as well?
I drop in for an hour or two. I like to watch the sport on television or maybe listen to a few records.
I wish you'd spread yourself a bit more.
It's a shocking night, Father.
It's been a shocking day.
Here's your slippers, Father Michael, and the whiskey bottles beside your chair.
Thanks.
You look tired, Father.
He's had me delivering raffle tickets all afternoon. That parcel's for you. 60 books.
60? It's always been 30, and those have taken a bit of selling.
Everyone has to take twice as many this time. It's part of his 3-year plan for the building of the new church.
Well, I don't think we could get rid of 60 books unless we bought a lot of them ourselves.
He won't care what you do as long as he gets the money.
We're thinking of getting a car.
Good idea.
The shop tires us a lot, Father. We can't get away for holidays. If we had a car, we could go for little runs in the evenings and on Sundays. Maybe have our tea out somewhere.
Trouble is, neither of us can drive.
There are plenty of driving schools these days.
Well, if we did have a car, Phil would have to be the one who learns to drive. I can't be spared from the shop.
Oh, I don't fancy going to driving school. Strangers make me nervous.
I could teach you to drive.
Oh, we couldn't impose on you, Father.
The odd hour here and there would make no difference.
Phil would pick it up in no time.
That's settled, then. Now, Father, you know a lot about cars. What kind should we get?
Were you thinking of a second-hand one?
Oh, no, a new one.
A new car for me to drive. Oh, Ursula, can we afford
it? Of course we can.
It wouldn't have to be a very big one, just big enough for the two of you.
That's right. Now, Father, what make of car would you suggest?
What on earth is it, Henry? Why have you come bursting in like this?
Father Michael's run off with Philomena McMullen.
When did this happen?
This morning. I just had Ursula on the phone. They got married in the register office and then took off in Philomena's car. They rang Ursula when they were 20 miles out of town, when it was too late to do anything about it.
What a shock for the poor girl.
She sounded quite defiant on the phone.
Oh, I hope she's not forgetting about the raffle tickets and all the excitement.
You seem to be taking it damned calmly.
How else should I take it?
Doesn't it strike you that you, more than anyone, is responsible for what's happened?
Mm-hmm.
If you provided a decent home for him, he wouldn't have been driven out of the presbytery to beg his meals.
Is that what he's been doing?
It's what we've both been doing. But I had the sense to visit a different house each day. He kept going to the McMullens, and look at the result.
Am I to understand that both of you have been eating out before coming back here for lunch?
How else could we sustain life in ourselves?
So when you were saying how much you enjoyed my cooking, you were deceiving me.
What does that matter now?
Oh, it matters a great deal. Have you any idea of the careful thought and planning, not to mention sheer hard work, that went into the making of those meals? Oh, and to learn that you were both making a mockery of them.
What on earth are you going on about? Who cares about your flaming meals when Father Michael at this very moment is damning his soul for eternity?
Aren't you being rather dramatic?
You still don't seem to realize what's happened. I'm not getting through to you. A priest of God has run off with a woman.
So you've told me, but there's no need to go on and on about it. It's happened before, and it'll happen again. The church knows how to deal with this kind of situation. These affairs generally follow the same pattern. Father Michael has yielded to carnal desire. Oh, a very heady situation, no doubt, for one who's never enjoyed its dubious pleasures. But in a month or two, he'll look at his simple-minded shop girl through different specs. He'll begin to have regrets, and then want to return to the church.
What will happen then?
Oh, well, when that time comes, the church will be ready to receive him. I mean, after all, no permanent damage has been done. A register office marriage has no validity for us. They're simply living in sin, and sin can be forgiven. Not that the bishop would allocate him to another parish. Can't risk the chance of another incident. Cases like his usually become chaplains in the Navy. Less chance there of involvement with women.
But surely there must be more to it than that. What if there's a child?
It will be cared for in one of our orphanages, or possibly adopted.
And what will happen to Philomena?
She'll come back home. Oh, of course, she'll have to stay behind the scenes for a while, but that shouldn't be difficult.
You certainly sorted out that situation.
Well, why not? It's hardly one that has shaken the church to its foundations.
An announcement must be made to the parish.
I'll preach about it at all the masses on Sunday. I'll deal with the difficulties of being a priest. I'll liken him to Christ in the wilderness. The temptations he must constantly face. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yes, I'll make that the text. If I may make a point to you personally, Henry, I think you should refrain from lunching with the parishioners.
Yes, Father.
And you'll enjoy your lunch here all the more, if you come to it hungry.
Yes, Father.
Oh, did I tell you that Dennis Sloane has come up with a wonderful idea for the interior decoration of the new St. Gregory's, a synthesis of Byzantine mosaics?
Some people were...
There it goes. I'll show you the sketches. By the way, what kind of food did the parishioners give you?
Liver and onions, beef stew, bacon and sausages, that sort of thing.
Bacon and sausages, indeed. How could you possibly appreciate the nuances of my cuisine after bacon and sausages? Oh, really, Henry? Sometimes I could cry.
Richard Herndl was Father Richard Valentine. John Levitt was Father Henry Walsh, and Brian Murray was Father Michael O'Toole in Raymond Fitzsimons' play Father Valentine's Day. Ursula McMullen was played by Hilda Kreisman, and her sister Philomena was Amanda Murray. Father Valentine's Day was directed by Graham Gould.